नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय Because devotee of Krishna is a very high level person, high level of upadhi. And if you want to define devotee, who is a devotee? A very simple devotee definition is one who is not separated from Krishna.
So first
says, Paritranai Sarana, to save and protect my devotees. Number two, he says, to kill the demons. Number three, he says, to establish the religion, the principles of religion. I come again and again. But primarily, the Lord comes to serve his devotees, to please his devotees, to take care of his devotees, to protect his devotees, to deliver his devotees. And at most of the time, he comes to abuse his devotees, to entertain their devotees, his devotees. That is why, if we really want to attract the attention of the Lord, then we should try to serve the devotees. In spiritual progress, it is explained that the first principle is Namaruchi. When we perform our sadhana, sadhana is the worship of Krishna is divided into three kinds of bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, then sadhana bhakti is divided into Vaidhi bhakti and Radha Muga bhakti. Then there is Bhav bhakti and then there is Prem bhakti as per the Purushottam's definitions. So when we perform this bhakti, various types of bhakti, one becomes a devotee. We can imagine ourselves in all the other things are washed. Then what happens is, we can think of Krishna incessantly, without any interruption. Without any interruption and without any motivation. Such a devotee is extremely dear to Krishna. You can imagine, all the incarnations, primarily they have been taken place because of one devotee. Lord took complete full incarnation of Narasimha Devi. For one devotee. For one devotee only. And Lord never tolerates any insults, any atrocities, any pains to devotees. It's intolerable for him. Hiranyakashipu is all nonsense he tolerated. And when he came on Prahlad, Lord incarnated, destroyed Hiranyakashipu. And all the power that Hiranyakashipu had, destroyed. Only one reason, that he had actually hurt his devotee, tried to hurt his devotee. In fact, he could not hurt his devotee, but he was attempting to hurt and destroy him. So, if you study Krishna's lifetime, when Krishna came down to birth in Mathura, and then went to Vrindavan, then went to Mathura again, went to Dwarka, constantly he was serving the Pandavas. Constantly. When he was in Vrindavan, he was simply abusing and serving the devotees and protecting them. Whenever demons came, whenever attacks came, they called his name and immediately he was there to serve them. And then later on, the whole life of Pandavas, if you analyze, right from beginning to the end, at every step of danger, Krishna was there. So many times, he was in danger because the Vasant he had come with 60,000 disciples. They could have been destroyed. It seemed that time Krishna was having his super bow in Rukmini Devi in Dwarka, which he had already serving very beautifully, and she was finding him and she was talking sweet words and serving him. Suddenly he just got up and went. And she thought, there's something wrong in my service. There's some fault in my Lord, the worshipful Lord, my Lord and Master, just went away. But where he went away? Instantly appeared in the hermit of, in the hut of Lopani. And then we know the story, how he saved her. Instantly he appears. Similarly, when she was being stripped by Dushyasana, we know that she was trying everybody else. First with husbands, then to Vishmadev, into Drona and into assembly and everybody. When she called out Krishna, instantly he appeared. It seems he was waiting for her to call him. With the time she had failed in so many things, he had appeared. But he was already there waiting. Already waiting. Naturally she called, immediately delivered Vastra, Ambara Avatar. Sat Sabha. all dishes and good people also. But it was a question of our prestige and dignity and of all these big, big men of the world. And Krishna saved her. It is said that even as Hiranyakashipu, he was already there in the pillar, waiting for not Hiranyakashipu to say something about it. But already, as soon as Prahlad said, my Lord is everywhere, Lord already was there waiting in the pillar. Already waiting. That's why it is called as pillar was the mother of Hiranyakashipu, mother of Narasimha Bhagavan. So forth, you can imagine Mahabharata war, so many incidences where Pandavas actually could have been destroyed. Every time, at the time of Bhishmadev, the time of Dronacharya, the time of Karna, so many times Krishna came to their rescue, to save them. But Krishna considered himself that my devotees are my life and soul. I live for them. I exist for them. The fact that I exist in Spore of Vrindavan and here also, because I love my devotees. That is why he comes again and again. Or tempts him to come again and again, is the devotion of his devotees. So today we will discuss about how Pratapudra Maharaj achieved the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pratapudra Maharaj was king of Orissa and specifically he was ruling the temple of Lord Jagannath. And he had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was his Raja. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya achieved the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by serving him. And then Pratapudra wanted to leave him. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had already attained the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whenever Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would propose this thought, show great anger and he would say, he is a king, he is a worldly man, he is a sense gratification person, he is a man of opulence and sense gratification. I do not want to see him as a sannyasi, being a sannyasi. So if ever you take his name again in front of me, I will leave Jagannath Puri and never come back here again. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would go and tell Prathapudra, this is what Lord said. Prathapudra was so morose. He said, I am a king, supposed to be well respected personality. My position is so powerful. But if my so-called powerful position is not going to achieve me the mercy of Lord Gauranga, then my all position is useless. I do not want to be a king or remain a king. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the time of festival, brought thousands and thousands of people. They were coming and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was standing with King Pratapudra on the terrace and Sarvabhauma was explaining every devotee to King Pratapudra because he saw that these devotees are so fortunate. They have the audience of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They have the chance to serve Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They are very dear to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They are working with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is allowing them to come to Jagannath Puri from Bengal. Suddenly everybody can walk with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these are the fortunate devotees. So he was asking about each and everybody. And Sarvabhauma was greatly detailed. He was explaining to Pratapudra, he is Bhagavad Pandit, he is Haridas Thakur, he is this, he is Brahmananda Puri, he is Paramananda Puri, he is this, he is that. And with great awe and reverence and respect and affection, Pratapudra was listening to all the devotees, individual devotees, and he was considering them so fortunate to be in the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was considering himself to be so lowly that he could not be in the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if he would impose himself on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would leave Jagannath Puri. And that is a disaster for Jagannath Puri devotees. But he was constantly requesting Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to plead this case. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not successful. So many times he tried, and he got very strong responses. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu King Pratapudra, and King Pratapudra immediately arranged for accommodations of all the devotees who came from Bengal. And then he also arranged for their prasadam. And this news came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was kind of little happy. Then, in the course of time, what happened was, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India and he met Ramananda Rai at the banks of Godavari and Kabul. They had their famous Prayojana Siddhanta discussion at the bank of Godavari. How many of you have heard or read about this discussion about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai? Our Gaudiya philosophy has got three primary Siddhantas. One is Sambandha Siddhanta, the Siddhanta of establishing our relationship with the Lord. And that was taught to Sanatana Goswami by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, personally at Varanasi for 2 months. Then Abhideya Siddhanta, that was taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami for 9 days at the Shashwamedh Ghat at Prayag at Allahabad. And the discussion and the Siddhanta about Prayojana, that is ultimate perfection in the relationship and service to the Lord, the highest level of perfection, was discussed at Kabul by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Ramananda Rai. And this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not speak. He became the student, so called. And he made Ramananda Rai speak everything about Prayojana Siddhanta. The philosophy of attaining perfection in the science of serving Krishna as a devotee. And that time, at the end of the discussion, 3 days they kept discussing, and last day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You should give up your position of governor." And Ramananda Rai was governor under the rule of Pratapudra, King Pratapudra. Very important and very powerful position. Still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you just leave everything and come with me. So he left everything and came back. And traveled with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Jagannath Puri. And the news came to King Pratapudra of the all discussion that took place at the bank of Godavari, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. And he considered his governor, who is his, supposed to be a subordinate, so fortunate that he could get personal audience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "I am superior to him, he reports to me as authority, but I am still rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And then he heard that he has told Ramananda Rai to give up his job and join him in Jagannath Puri. So, anybody has to say, feeling envious about his subordinate, right? "Here I am the king, I pay you." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told you to give up my service. Join him full time. But instead of becoming envious, he became so happy. He called Ramananda Rai and told him that, "No problem, even if you have given up my job, I will pay you double the salary and you remain with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You don't have to go to work. Your job now onwards is just to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever he says, you be with him and I will pay you double." And even this news came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. Very happy to hear that so Ramananda Rai was paid double salary by King Pratapudra. And then, because of this service to his devotee, actually the doors of association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened for Pratapudra Maharaj. And then came Rath Yatra. And at Rath Yatra time, you know, there was such a situation that Mahaprabhu Chaitanya had made 7 groups of devotees. In each group there was a lead singer, in each group there were lead dancers, in each group there were mridanga players, kartal players, and beautiful arrangement was there. And at one point of time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded himself into all 7 groups, and each and every group thought that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is with them. And King Pratapudra was one of the personalities who could see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all the 7 groups. Most of the devotees, most of the devotees, they thought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was only their guru, and they could not appreciate or see the ecstatic pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being present in all the seven groups. King Prataputra was one of them. And at one point of time, one person was coming in front of Srivas Thakur, I think. Srivas Thakur. Maybe Srivas Thakur, yes. Was coming again and again in between Srivas Thakur in front of him and uploading his vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dance. So at one point of time, he just moved aside. Again the man came in front of him. Again he moved aside. Again he came. Finally, Srivas Thakur was so angry that he slapped that person and pushed him aside. The man was very angry. He was going to attack and revolt against Srivas Thakur. At that time, King Prataputra caught him and said, "Do you know how fortunate you are? You are slapped by a personality like Srivas Thakur, who is the most worshipable devotee of the Lord. So you don't think that you are assaulted. You have been bestowed upon with the greatest of mercy of a devotee." And then it is said that because of his service, King Prataputra could receive the showers of tears flowing like a piston. What do you call pichkari? What do you call pichkari in English? A syringe. Syringe. Syringe-like tears were shooting from the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was dancing. And that made the body of Prataputra wet, the divine tears of Chaitanya. Only because he has served his devotees. Only because he has pleased Ramananda Raya also. And as a result of that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was constantly working on this. So how do I make Mahaprabhu Chaitanya's mercy fall upon Prataputra? And then after Ratha Yatra, Mahaprabhu Chaitanya became very weak, apparently. Weak means tired, apparently. With all his pastimes, and he closed his eyes and he lay down in the garden of Jagannath Vallabha, by the garden. At that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him, "Just go immediately." Anyway, before only he had told him not to dress up as a king, dress up as an ordinary devotee. So, as an ordinary person, the king dressed up like an ordinary man, and all time was in the Ratha Yatra, rushed to Jagannath Vallabha garden and started massaging Lord Chaitanya's feet. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him, "You please sing Gita Govinda." And King Prataputra started singing beautiful songs written by Jayadeva Goswami. Mr. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy. He acted as if he didn't know who was massaging him. And he asked him, after a long time of enjoying the ecstasy of the beautiful devotional sentiment flooded singing of King Prataputra, he asked, "Who are you?" First of all, he got up and embraced him tightly and held him in his embrace long time, made him wet with his tears, wet with his tears. And then he asked, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your servant of your servant of your servant." He didn't say, "I am King Prataputra." You know, the same person whom you rejected. Now you are accepting. Thank you very much. He didn't say that. He said, "I am the devotee of your devotees." That is the only description that he could think of in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because of that consciousness of actually thinking himself devotee of his devotees, servant of his devotees, he could achieve the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now all that separation and pains of separation that he had to undergo because of not having the audience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that ended that day. And Mahaprabhu Chaitanya bestowed upon him the greatest of mercy. So King Prataputra, before that Ratha Yatra began, he also became a sweeper. He swept the floor or road in front of Lord Jagannath's chariot, thinking himself that if I cannot meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by remaining a king, by the position of my being a king, I cannot achieve Mahaprabhu association, better become Sangi. What is the use of being a king? So he was a true devotee. He could serve the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could become Bhangini, he could come in the ordinary dress, in between. Then he could see all the wonderful miracle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of expansion into seven groups individually. It is explained by Srinivas Kaviraj how fortunate King Prataputra was. And he was made into fortunate personality only because of his consciousness of being subservient to his devotees. This is one example. Another example is Sivananda Sen. Even Sivananda Sen was a big man, a rich man. But constantly, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will come to know that Sivananda Sen was constantly serving the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would give up the privilege of being with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally. He would stay behind. He would put devotees on boats when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crossed the river. He would load devotees on the boats, pay for them, arrange boats for them, stand the last. Sometimes Mahaprabhu Chaitanya would ask, where is Sivananda? He said he is still stuck with the check post, arguing with the check post man. Mahaprabhu would be very happy to hear that. So many times in the Yatra, we also know who the Yatra, 5,000 devotees, 6,000 devotees we go, and the chief of the Yatra is never seen in the Yatra. He is never seen traveling with the devotees and eating with the devotees and sitting with the devotees and listening to Katha with devotees. He is always there behind arranging everything. When one activity is going on, the next activity is already being arranged, buses are being arranged, parked, drivers are being fed, and 2 o'clock they get up and they start cooking and he is supplying vegetables. And so who is the leader of the Yatra? No one will know. So they will never see. The leader is doing all the arrangements. But who receives the maximum mercy in the Yatra? Of course, everybody who listens to Katha, they receive mercy of Yatra. But who receives the maximum mercy of Yatra? Those who serve all the devotees. Those who make all the devotees comfortable. Those who make arrangements of stay, those who make arrangements of food, those who make arrangements of transport, those who make arrangements for pandal, those who make arrangements of travelling, those who make arrangements of shade, every single thing, parikrama, those who find out the route, if there are any blockages, if there is any water or dirt on the road, they go and do the survey of every single thing, every single place, where Yatra will go, where they will sit down, where they will give a katha, where they will be able to dance. How much space is there for doing darshan, how much time we can spend there, how many queues can be made, and how much time it will take to come back and go there, how many buses will take, how much time, everything they are calculating all the time. Sacrificing every single pleasure that the devotees are looking forward to. They don't even take darshan of a single deity in the Yatra. Devotees are going in thousands and taking darshan of deities. Devotees are hearing lectures constantly. Make the devotees be able to attend the lectures and association in the dham, darshan of the dham. So many devotees, maybe I think not less than 300 devotees. 100 of them are working in the kitchen. 100 of them are working in a variety of services. They sacrifice everything. But they are the people who receive the most mercy, most satisfaction, most happiness. They are blissful at their heart. Last day, devotees leave, take trains and go, and they are still paying the accounts and paying the bills and winding up the kitchen and transporting the kitchen from Yatra place to Bombay. I get amazed, such an hard work. Most of these devotees get up at 2 a.m. in the morning, and devotees are in the middle of deep sleep. These devotees get up at 2 o'clock. Because of 5,000 devotees, they have to provide breakfast at 6:30 in the morning. It's not a joke. They have to run 100 batches of 50 kilos of upma, for example. 100 batches. Each batch takes about 15 minutes. The perfect cycle goes on. And they have 7 burners, 7 cycles at one time. And they have to run so many cycles like this. So they have to get up at 2 o'clock. They have to chant their 16 rounds and give breakfast at 6:30. And before the express is being offered, lunch preparations are going on. And lunch has to be delivered, served at 1:30 in the afternoon. By the time the devotees will come back, lunch has to be ready. So they are working day and night. The last batch of prasadam is cooked and being offered. They go to sleep. and they missed all darshans and all the yatra and all lectures. But Guru Maharaj will specifically go in the kitchen, thank each and every devotee, that you have made all the devotees so happy by your wonderful service. And yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadat, yasya prasadat na gati kuto. When you please your spiritual master, Krishna is pleased. The spiritual master is pleased when you serve the devotees. The biggest mantra of a spiritual master to his disciples is to take care of one another. Is that right? One may do great book distribution. One may do construction of the big temples. One may do very big, large services, very remarkable, noticeable services. But if one is displeasing devotees in a certain way, neither Guru nor Krishna is pleased. It's not pleasing. Because the most valuable thing is not to build big, big temples. The most valuable thing is not to distribute thousands of books for the people who are suffering in the material world. The most valuable service is to serve the devotees and please them. His Holiness Ramakrishna Maharaj said, why should the Prabhupada build these temples all over the world? Because he wanted devotees to come together, have a facility for interaction with one another, and the atmosphere that is created in the temple situation should be such that devotees can open their hearts to one another, listen to each other, what is there in the heart of each other, confide with each other, open their hearts and listen to the other person also. If that we are able to do, then the purpose of opening up temple is successful, achieved. The purpose is achieved and fulfilled. So when we come together here, we have to always think that, am I making the other devotees so comfortable that they are now able to, they feel like opening their hearts. What is there in the heart? Maybe pain or maybe happiness, whatever is there in the heart. There is always something which we can't share in public. But always there is something which we want to look for a devotee whom we can trust and whom we can open up. And thus by opening up, become light and then progress in Krishna consciousness. So, with the same mood, Bhaktivedanta Hospital was built up. And because, you know, we are making so much of efforts to preach, to give people Krishna consciousness who are not Krishna conscious, to give them philosophy, to give them prasadam, and try to bring them in the fold of Krishna consciousness. But what is happening after they make entry into Krishna consciousness? Then we say, you go inside now, I'll again go and bring more people inside. And these devotees who have already taken up Krishna consciousness as in their life, nobody is taking care of them. Some of the devotees go into financial difficulties. Some of the devotees go into family difficulties. Some child dies or mother dies or wife becomes sick or husband becomes sick. So many people undergo disastrous situations. The worst scenario in a devotee's life is when he falls sick. It is said that a devotee, by the power of his devotion, can tolerate anything. Can tolerate financial losses, can tolerate social difficulties. When it comes to one's own body falling sick and getting into pain, and severe pain, and maybe very severe pain of cancer or a dreadful terminal disease, at that time, the devotees may need Krishna consciousness. Because of the difficulties are when they are to the self, body, mind and soul itself, the very body itself, become very difficult. It is said that sickness is Maya's most strong attack on a devotee. We hear the story in the Bible also. I'll tell you in short the story. The person's name is Job, J-O-J-O-A-A-B. He is a devotee of the Lord. The Lord would always say, Job is my devotee. And Satan would always say, yes, my Lord is a devotee because he has his good family, he has money, he has good health, he has everything. So what is there so great about Job? So Satan would say that, I would go and test Job. Satan went and tested Job. When one day Job went to do some business outside, full of his family got burnt in the house that he was living. Everybody died. Job came back from business and saw his house on fire. And each and every member, large number of family, large number of children and daughters and sons and daughter-in-laws and wife, everybody burned to ashes, died. And Job said, "Thank you, my Lord. This is your mercy." The Lord said, "Satan, see, Job is my devotee. I told you Job is my devotee. The people are testing him." They said, "Yes, my Lord." Satan said that Job lost everything. Still he has a very strong body. Again he will establish a new family and again a new business and again new house and everything will be fine. Sure enough, Job re-established his house, married again had family, and expanded his family, and again he was still to be happy. So Satan said, "See, as I told you, I agree that he's a devotee. I mean, everything is fine. So then, again, Satan went and tested Job. This is a long story, I'm putting it short, very shortly. Again, actually I told you in a very hurry. The first occasion, everybody went on a picnic and house got burned. And Job was houseless. Next time, his family got burned. And Job was alone, sitting on the tree, still thanking the Lord. Third time, Job was sitting under a tree and he woke up the next morning. His body was filled with painful boils. What do you call painfulness? What do you call it? Filled with pus, blood, and bloated pains. Every two boils didn't have even one finger gap in between. So much of boils all over the body, oozing out pus and blood and fully painful. And Job woke up in the morning, "Why, Lord? Why me? Why this is happening to me?" And Satan said, "See, my Lord, see, I told you. As long as he has healthy body, family, money, he could devote to you." But at that time, it is explained in the Bible that God went down on earth and spoke to Job. He was invisible, but through sound, God spoke to Job and preached him, counseled him, and gave him courage. And Job accepted the mercy of the Lord. He said, "Thank you, my Lord." And then Satan was defeated. So what is the, in this particular aspect of devotee care, devotee service, what is the message for us? That Job, although he was a strong devotee like a rock, also shook when his body was in pain. He didn't become atheist, or he didn't become non-devotee immediately. He didn't give up his devotional service and said, "Hell with you, my Lord. This is too much." He didn't say that. But he cried in agony, "Why, my Lord, this is happening to me?" Somewhat he put a question to the Lord. He had faith in the perfection of the Lord all the while to all the other difficulties. But when it came to his body and suffering of the body, he shook. His faith really shook. And what the Lord did? Lord became the servant of his devotee, came down and gave strength to Job by counseling. And Job could still say, "Thank you, my Lord. I thank you for everything." So this being able to thank the Lord is a great thing in life. If somebody is able to thank the Lord in happiness and distress as well, in praise and insult as well, in success and failure as well, then one attains unlimited mercy of the Lord and unbroken connection with the Lord, uninterrupted union with the Lord. Somebody is able to become grateful to the Lord. And it is very difficult at times to become grateful to the Lord. You may not become ungrateful, but to be grateful in a positive sense all the time is very difficult. But there are so many varieties of pains in life. Somebody gets divorced, or your child may become drug addict, or your girl may become pregnant at the age of 15, your property may get burnt, may be disastrous. And one may get bewildered. Why me? And why is this happening to me? At that time, if the fellow devotees are not around you, to explain to you the perfection of the arrangements of the Lord. If the fellow devotees are not there to help you at that time, maybe physically serve you at that time. What if somebody gets a dreadful disease and is bedridden, is hospitalized, and no devotees go to see him? He will lose the faith in the company of devotees. Oh, these people who chant Hare Krishna are only there when we are dancing and singing and eating prasad. When we are suffering, nobody is there. When we are together enjoying yatra, eating prasadam and dancing with raised hands and going round and round and round, holding the hands of devotees, that's the limitation of their company. And when real need comes, no one is there. You don't want to be part of this community. You don't want to become part of this religious and social group in Marin. No one comes when we are sick. That feeling comes in the heart of devotees. Then, you know, it's a disastrous situation in devotional life, I would say. So, now we are deeply thinking all over the globe in the ISKCON movement how to take care of devotees. Because you always say, buying milk is easy, but then boiling is very difficult. You have to keep on stirring it on a slow fire, wait patiently till the milk is boiled and thickened and become condensed. And they become very sweet and offerable to the Lord. But one has to stand and wait there, really, really stir the milk long time with patience, pray to the Lord for boiling the milk and making it condensed. So most important, as much as buying of milk is important, or milking the cows is important to get the milk, equally important is also to boil the milk. And give milk a situation with which it can be offered to the Lord and can be accepted as a drink also. So this devotee care is the basic concept behind opening Bhakti Vedanta Hospital. Because nonetheless, whether we don't eat meat, we don't eat onion garlic, we don't eat voraciously like other people eat outside, we have so many principles, still the nature of the body is that body will fall sick. Body will get old. And sickness is something, I give an example to you. Many years back in 1986, when Radha Gopinath temple just started, in one room and one kitchen on the ground floor in Girgaon Chowpatta area. We have a president at that time. And he took sannyas also. And there were only 5 brahmacharis. And me and my wife were staying in the temple. And one day this president of the temple, what is temple? Small room, one room and one kitchen. There was one temple. And there used to be a small box in which Radha Gopinath, small deities would go there. And when devotees would dance because of the unstable floor, even the deity would dance. In those days were very different days. So this devotee was sick, he got malaria. And he got admitted in a friend devotee doctor's clinic. And there were hardly, congregation was only 25-30 devotees. And nobody went to see him. And his illness was such that the devotee doctor was looking after him. Also was very busy. Examine him, give medicine to him, and go on his work. And again, next day, he would come to see him. But in the process, because there was nobody with this devotee, who was a temple president, sannyasi, this devotee left from there only, this ISKCON movement, and went to join another movement. Until today, he is another movement. So at that time, it was being discussed that when devotees fall sick, there has to be somebody to take care of it. Now if you see, there is a counseling system in the temple where in outside congregation, each 50 devotees are taken care by one counselor who knows each and everything happening in their life, ups and downs in their life, keeps in touch with them, gives them association, gives them help, gives them support. And in Brahmachari Ashram, the Brahmachari Ashram is now maybe 160 brahmacharis in Radha Gopinath temple, another 160 brahmacharis in Vada form, Govardhan Eco form. Each 5 brahmachari has one counselor. Every single devotee is being looked after by one counselor. Their well-being, their health, their services, everything is monitored nicely, kept in touch with. So anything goes wrong, the devotee knows what's going wrong in one counselor. And whenever there is a program in somebody's house outside, one devotee will accompany the speaker devotee, Brahmachari. He will not go alone. So at times we found that a single Brahmachari goes to give lecture and then he gets married to the daughter of the host. So he lost the devotee. So then one devotee going with each Brahmachari, protecting from the onslaughts of material nature on him. And especially when a devotee falls sick, a devotee is sent with him to the hospital. If the Bhaktivedanta hospital also, or if host has to go emergency in other hospital also, one devotee goes with him, stays with him. They may not be great services, everything may be done by the hospital, but just being with him, reading Bhagavatam for him, talking to him, entertaining him, making him feel I'm there to care for you, to look after you, whatever you need you tell me please, I'm available to you. Maybe he gets busy, somebody else is sent to him. But all the time, the sick devotee is covered. I will give my example to you. What is the meaning of sickness? I was a full-time devotee for many years. I was living in Radha Gopina temple. And I should be very busy into doing variety of services. Every day busy. Constantly traveling, doing camps and preaching and cultivating devotees. And one day I got very high fever with jinx. Very severe, 102. And I was just knocked down. I was in my room, small room, alone. And 3 days I was having severe pain in the abdomen. Chili fever, constantly, you know how fever and chili strikers come, you are miserable actually. And I was, you know, everybody was busy, my wife was busy, she would go to her do her services and everybody was busy. And 3 days I was alone in the room, lying down on the floor, in the bed, with high fins with chili strikers. I felt so frustrated. In between my illness, I went to Adhana Swami and told him, Maharaj, I am giving up my full-time Krishna conscious life in temple, and I want to go back home and do my business outside. And he said that you get well, after getting well 7 days you try to get back to your service, and after 7 days of getting back to your service, will you feel that you don't want to live full time in temple, then you may go home. And I got well, got back to my medical services. And after 7 days I told Maharaj, no, I don't want to go back to my happy here. But that phase in between of feeling miserable and feeling like giving up temple life and going home was very important and significant. But in that phase, not a single devotee came and met me in those days, not today. Today is like fully covered situation. But a very significant point to know, that time I came to understanding that sickness is one of the strongest attacks of Maya on devotees. When devotee's mind completely gets bewildered, all the faiths and trusts are put to question and put to challenge. It can happen to us, then we have to be very careful about others. Because one devotee is so precious that sometimes one whole program of 3,000 people is being invited with 10,000 rupees being spent on that program yields only one devotee. We will say, oh, this Brahmachari came from that Borivali program in 88. Oh, this Brahmachari, he came from Andheri program in 1994. Oh, this devotee came from that IIT program which used to be conducted in early 90s. So much of money, so much of energy, so much of organization, management, and so much of resources are utilized. Sometimes one full program is done just to get one devotee. And then you forget that devotee. Once he comes in, we again look outside and we look inside. And most of the times, so many insiders, they have so many difficulties, so many challenges. Maya is not going to leave you. You have decided that I will chant Hare Krishna and I am going to not say yes to Maya, I am going to say yes to Krishna. Maya is not going to be quiet. Maya is going to attack your faith through various ways. One of the strongest ways is sickness, or social problems, or emotional problems, or disaster. So many, as Kaliyuga is advancing, so many devotees undergo depression. Very amazing thing. Observers may ask, how devotees undergo depression? I said, what? Becoming depressed is the only contract of outside people. Devotees also have mind. They also have body. They also have eyes. They also have hands. They can get diseased. As the body may get diseased, you don't question the body gets diseased. Now, outside people don't question you. How you got fever? You are a devotee, no? You should not get fever. How you got boil in the hand? How you got headache? How you got bad blood pressure? You should not get blood pressure. You should not get diabetes. No, we are the same body as the others have. And as much as their bodies are subjected to all these kind of worldly disasters, our bodies are also subject to all these things. As the stress is increasing so much in the world, depression is becoming common in the world, even devotees undergo depression. It's the body, central body, like the gross body, central body. Gross body has a disease, central body has a disease. But the point is, whenever there is gross body or subtle body problems, if you are surrounded by devotees who are very careful, who are very caring and very loving, you do not feel the heat of all the disasters in life. You do not feel that I am suffering. You feel I am suffering, no doubt. But Krishna is so merciful that he is sending his devotees to me to take care of me, to be with me. Somebody is cooking for you, somebody is bringing tiffin for you. When you are in the hospital, somebody is bringing tiffin for your relatives in the house. You don't have money to pay the bill, somebody is helping you to give by giving loan, or working out discount for you, or running out and finding medicines which are not available. Some devotee is going to some other pharmacy and searching that important medicine that you need. Some devotee is announcing the devotee that this devotee requires A plus blood. And then news go by SMS to all the congregation. A devotee in Andheri is undergoing operation, needs 19 bottles of blood of A plus category. Please. And then you see devotees come running in more than necessary number. You require 19 bottles and 50 devotees are ready to give blood. Then you feel in such condition that you are wanted. People care for you. You feel you are important. People love you. That's why people are ready to sacrifice their blood for you. When Shyam Sundar Prabhupada's most dear disciple, devotee, he had his liver spoiled completely. And he had to have liver transplant. And he was admitted in the hospital, and then the news came. So all over the world is gone. The Shyam Sundar Prabhu, the dear devotee of Prabhupada, requires a liver. That means a person who has a healthy liver, he can spare half of his liver to the per patient. And he has half and the patient has half. And the liver is such a condition that even 1/12 part of our liver is functioning, you can still survive nicely. Of course, not healthy liver, you can survive with 1/12 of liver existing, working for you, functionally. So if you have half and if you have 50%, and the person will get half, 50%, both will survive. As soon as this news came, about 12 devotees all over the world were ready to give their liver to both Shyam Sundar Prabhu. The doctor in California, the hospital in the California, the medical team, they were so surprised. They were asking them, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, who are you? Who are you? Well, even the celebrities like Michael Jackson come to us. Not a single person wants to donate any organ to me. It was millions of dollars. You can make half of a property on your name. But still, to that celebrity, not a single person comes forward. We have the experience, the doctor said, in our hospital, that even big persons, nobody has any relationship with them to come and offer their organ for them. And here, just now we declare you needing a liver, and within no time, 12 people are calling to spare their livers for you. Who are you? Who are you? It's a disciple of Prabhupada. And the part of this movement. So he felt that I gave my life in service to Prabhupada. But the devotees are second generation devotees. They care for me. Although I am apparently useless now. I am very old. I am not unable to serve the way I was serving before. I am in 70s now. And I need liver. And after getting liver also I am going to do great service. Still devotees are, young devotees are ready to give their liver to me. Not one, 12 of them. The large number, please understand. And then one of the devotees in Bombay, gave his liver to Shyamananda Prabhu. Shyamananda Prabhu is still living with us very nicely, sharing his memories, lovable memories of Prabhupada with all of us. Yamuna Mataji came to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. She was in serious heart failure. She was not diagnosed in USA. She was bloated. Her weight was, I don't know how to tell you. She was so sick. Any time she would have died. Maybe on the plane she would have died. 3.5 months she was nursed. So many youngsters and so many senior and junior ladies came forward and took care of her and cooked for her, bought dresses for her, stitched dresses for her, cleaned her room, got her whatever she wanted, took her to the hospital, accompanied her to the hospital, variety of hospitals to do investigations. The medical team got many expert doctors into consultation, and 10 kilos of weight was reduced simply by taking the fluid out of her body. And she came back to life. First time she had diagnosed to have apnea, that means respiratory difficulty during sleep. So she was given a machine, some devotee came out, donated the machine to her, and she could breathe properly in the night. After 20 years of lack of sleep in the life, she could breathe and sleep properly. She felt that through these wonderful devotees, Prabhupada was reciprocating with her, saving her life. She was giving her love to everybody in the process. So we may say, so what if I give my liver to Shyamananda Prabhu? What's great service is going to do now? He is in the late 70s. It's not anyway useless. It's not like that. We reaffirm our faith in Krishna when we see devotees coming and caring for us. Pratijani Kaunteya Name Bhaktya Pradashyami. It's not that Krishna was declared in the war as a very beautiful dialogue. We can sing again and again to impress people. Oh, Arjuna declared to the whole world that my devotee will never perish. And then you have great difficulty and no one comes to see you. And then what is this Krishna? What are these devotees? They just talk big things on the asasana. And the assembly when they come together and they go home, and when we have great difficulties, no one comes. What is Pratijani Kaunteya? It's all useless. Even to make Krishna's words true in a suffering devotee's life is a great service. You know, what is the greatest disaster? Is destroying our faith, or getting our faith destroyed. You may get cancer, your life may be lost, you may lose money, you may lose family. But if you lose faith, finished, everything is gone. You may be going on and on suffering perpetually in the cycles of birth and death because your faith is lost. And when, how we lose faith? Not most of the times because of maya attacks. Most of the times because of the behavior of devotees. The way devotees behave with us at certain difficult times makes us lose our faith in Krishna. Because from devotees, we judge the master. Oh, we are devotees of Krishna. If you are nice, then Krishna must be nice. If you are bad, then your Krishna also must be bad. If you do a good thing, all glories go to Sri Krishna. If you do a bad thing, all bad glories and bad things will go to Krishna. To spiritual master, right? So to preserve the precious faith of devotees in Krishna is one of the important caring service that we need to do. And find out and analyze and be very vigilant to notice which are the situations which can shake the faith of devotees. And knowing well, in a proactive way, plan for helping devotees not to lose their faith in such occasions. You may not have so much money to give devotees when they are in disaster, but if you have desire to help, Krishna will create resources for you. Yamuna Mataji didn't have anything. She was like a poorest person. She had nothing. But when she fell sick, you know, lakhs and lakhs of rupees and provisions and services were provided by devotees. Devotees came forward running to show her their respect and their love for her when she needed. And she felt that my spiritual master is so merciful because of this devotee serving me in this condition. My faith in my spiritual master and Sri Krishna is multiple times, many, many times strengthened. Right? So many devotees left the movement of Prabhupada when Prabhupada left this world. But it is said that many devotees wrote to Radhana Swami that when we saw that Bhaktivedanta Hospital is serving so many devotees all over the world, our faith in Prabhupada's movement is again reconstructed. And we are again coming back to temple. They are not yet visited Bhaktivedanta Hospital. But even if one hears that some devotees are taking care of some other devotees who are in difficulty, even that creates faith in the hearts of devotees who are not in touch with yours. Just by hearing such kind of activities of serving devotees in difficulty, the faith in the movement increases. We have come to movement of Hare Krishna, why? Because we have been told and we have experienced that the material world is very bad. There is suffering everywhere. People are not good at in the material world. Nobody cares for anybody. Nobody serves anybody. Nobody looks after anybody. No family members, no brothers, no sisters, no society members. Everybody for the name only. For that reason we have become devotees, so that we can fulfill our emotional needs, social needs in this community. We are looking forward to wonderful relationships. We are looking forward to helping, getting help when we are in difficulty. We are looking forward to emotional interactions. We are looking forward to sharing our hearts and confidential sharing of others' hearts to us. And if we get those things in this community, then our faith in Krishna becomes strengthened. But if we come to this congregation and we say same gossip that goes on outside goes on here also, the same problem of selfishness is here also. Nobody cares for you when you have difficulties there also. Then they said, they will say, you are better outside. Anyway, you are already used to outside. Why to try something and get disgusted? And they will leave. So, it is one of the important parts to maintain the devotee community in good consciousness is to take care of devotees. And when we do that, we also get assurance of Krishna that when you fall in difficulty, I always say this, that even if you go to Timbuktu, then no one is there, and you get into difficulty over there, Krishna will send some savior over there also. Because you have taken it as a priority in your life to take care of devotees. And because of that situation, Krishna will never leave you, never forget you. Krishna, out of his gratefulness and gratitude, will follow you wherever you go. And when he will send help to you, your faith in Krishna will be 100 times more established again. That is why, wherever we go in the world, we should understand the devotees, those who are devotees, those who have developed faith in Krishna, those who chant Hare Krishna and follow regulative principles and serve Krishna are very, very precious souls. Your outside world, blood relations may be there in the world, but who can chant Hare Krishna for you when you are dying? It's only a devotee of Krishna. Everybody else may come with medicines and money. At the moment of death, all medicines, money, contacts, influences become useless. And a person who sings the holy name in your ears becomes most precious, because that can deliver you from this world of birth and death and deliver you in the hands of Krishna. So however the devotees may appear so bad or good, but they are the people who will chant the Krishna for us. And they are very precious. And very few. Manushanam. Sahasreshu, Kaschitatati Siddhahi. So millions, one can reach Krishna, one can become a devotee of Krishna. And serving those devotees who are very dear to Krishna is a sure shot way of attracting attention of Krishna upon us. And the devotee whom you serve, he receives Krishna's mercy through you, and you receive maximum mercy of Krishna by serving that devotee. This is our very simple philosophy. And do not discriminate while serving. Oh, he's a senior devotee, so more people are ready to serve him. He's a junior devotee, hardly anybody is coming. He's not a famous devotee. He's not a charismatic devotee. He's not a rich devotee. He's not a very pandit devotee. So nobody is going to give his volunteer name for serving. Only those who are sannyasis, or those who are gurus, or those who are very eloquent and very famous and in giving classes, more people are going to serve him. Jesus Christ said, treat me as you will treat the least among yourself. The last day, before departing this world. Next day he was crucified. The previous day when he was having supper, last supper, he went and washed everybody's feet. He did not discriminate who were his apostles and who were simple devotees. So, the point that Jesus Christ made by washing everybody's feet is that the least amongst you should treat it the way you treat me. That means you want to take care of each and every devotee. We are talking about each and every so-called insignificant newcomer who may not take attention as the most advanced devotee. But Jesus Christ said that the least among yourself should be treated the way you treat me because you treat me as your master. That means everybody should be treated as one's own master. Something you have to do to extend your help to a devotee. You send some money, or you can give one phone number of an important doctor, or you can phone one devotee who has a positive blood, you can do a little thing. But if you have the consciousness that whatever little I can do, I must do. You may not be sitting with the devotee 24 hours and nursing him, like some may be able to do. But in any devotee's disastrous situation, there's something you can always do, which you should be doing. To do that, your life is successful. So pleasing devotees means pleasing Krishna. Krishna becomes ours when we take care of his devotees. How much he loves his devotees. He himself comes down several of times just to take care of his devotees. Just to please them, just to serve them. Krishna himself considered himself as Vaishnava Das. That is Krishna's designation. He loves to be called as servant of his devotees. So it is his mission to become servant of his devotees. So why not we take part in his mission of serving his devotees? Who are so precious. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama.